Welcome to the Plan the Magic podcast, where we help you plan your trip to the happiest place on earth without a travel agent. I'm your host, Samantha DiCastro Corcoran, and let's get into it. Disclaimer, I'm not affiliated with Disney, the Disney Company, or the Disney Resort, Disneyland Resort in any way. These podcasts are meant to be educational and to help you plan your trip, and they're as accurate as possible on the date that they're published. But things do change, especially with Disneyland, so make sure you're double checking, and we're not responsible for any discrepancies. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Plan the Magic podcast. I'm your host, Samantha, and today we're going to be doing a little dive into the history of the Disneyland Resort itself. So for those of you that aren't aware, Disneyland in California is the original Disney park, the one that Walt came up with, dreamt of, and walked himself. He first came up with the idea in the late 1940s, and he initially thought of adding a park kind of like adjacent and close to the studios they had in Burbank. But as his kind of dreams for the park grew, he kind of realized that maybe it wouldn't really fit into that area, and he began looking for a site to build a park. And the story goes that he kind of dreamt this up while sitting on a park bench watching his daughters play in a park. So that's kind of like the where it all started percolating, so they say. After tons of research and planning, Walt found a 160-acre site in Anaheim, California, and at the time it was mostly just orange groves, as Orange County is named for, and they broke ground on July 16th, 1954, and the original budget was around $17 million. So after all of the building and all that sort of stuff, Walt Disney was kind of the dreamer, and his brother Roy was more of the financier, trying to make sure things stayed on budget, which was tough. This was the first time anyone had really tried to do anything like this, so it was a bit out there and no one really knew what to think of this whole situation. But they were successful, and Disneyland officially opened on July 17th, 1955. It was televised as a whole special event, but it had some rough patches. There were rides that weren't finished. It was so crazy hot. There's stories of the concrete wasn't fully set, so women's heels were sinking into the concrete. They only had money to operate certain things, so Walt had to decide between, you know, having the toilets run or the water fountains working. So he obviously picked the toilets, and then people were saying that it was a ploy by the sponsor Coca-Cola, so they had to buy beverages instead of using just the water fountains. It was a bit of a mess the first day. However, despite all of these issues, it was a huge success, and it nearly brought in 1 million visitors just in its first year back in 1955. The park featured 5 themed lands: Main Street USA, Adventureland, Frontierland, Fantasyland, and Tomorrowland. But as we all know, that would change. Throughout the 60s and the 70s, Disneyland continued to grow, adding new attractions and updating old ones. Some of these notable attractions include adding the Matterhorn bobsleds in 1959 and the monorail system. In the 60s, Disney also introduced the concept of New Tomorrowland, which featured advanced technology and futuristic rides. Unfortunately, Walt Disney himself passed in 1966. The company continued to honor his vision and continued to expand the park, introducing new attractions. In the 80s, we saw the addition of popular rides such as Star Tours and Splash Mountain. In the 90s, there was a bit of a switch in how Disneyland looked and operated. In 1991, Disney announced plans to expand Disneyland into a multi-park, multi-resort complex. This led to the development of Disney California Adventure Park, which opened in 2001. Originally, DCA, as we will call it, was actually supposed to be kind of like a Westcott type thing. For those of you that are familiar with Disney World and Epcot, the idea was that they were going to bring something similar over to the West Coast. However, that didn't happen, and they created DCA, which when it first opened was kind of a look at the culture and history of California. In 2001, Downtown Disney also opened, so that's the shopping, dining, entertainment district between the parks. We also got the Disney's Grand California Hotel and Spa that year, which added a different level of resort experience to Disneyland. And we jump ahead to the 2000s. In 2012, DCA kind of saw a bit of a facelift and a change. It kind of shifted away from the California-specific vibe, and we started seeing things like Cars Lounge being built, Buena Vista Street, and those sorts of things. This also led into eventually Avengers Campus being built and Pixar Pier replacing the original pier that was there. In 2015, we celebrated the 60th anniversary with a diamond celebration, which gave us all sorts of fun things. And in 2019, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which is about 14-acre land, opened in Disneyland. As you've probably noticed going over all of these different things, Disneyland's always been kind of morphing and growing. Walt famously said, "Disneyland will never be completed. It will continue to grow as long as there is imagination left in the world." And Disney, the company, has stayed true to that statement. Disneyland is never going to be finished, and the newest version of this has been the recently approved Disneyland Forward project. Disneyland Forward is looking to fully expand the parks within its current blueprint. So where we're seeing things like parking lots right now, they're actually have gotten approval from the Anaheim City Council to create anything they want on any property essentially that they own. So instead of parking lots only being allowed to be parking lots, they can start looking at expanding actual theme park space, creating new resorts and hotels, and adding more to the Disney experience. Now, Disneyland Forward is like 10, 20, 30 year project, so I don't know if we're going to be seeing anything in regards to groundbreaking right now, but of course we'll keep an eye on that. So after that brief little history and kind of where we're going in the future with Disneyland, I just kind of wanted to riff a little bit about it, and kind of some of this stuff is why it's my favorite, and I do have a sentimental attachment because it was the first one that I went to, and one that I've been to multiple times, but there's also a sense of intimacy and closeness at Disneyland that I really enjoy. And knowing that Walt walked those streets himself, he has, like, Walt's apartment is still intact above the fire hall. They have, whenever you're on Main Street and you're in front of the fire hall, if you look up in the window above the door, you'll see a lamp that's lit, and it's there to represent the soul of Walt Disney, and his presence always being in the park, which is very cool. And he did technically start the Walt Disney World project, but as we know, he never got to finish it or see it come to completion. So Disneyland in California is really kind of Walt's park and his original vision for these theme parks. And that's kind of, you know, why I love this park and the idea of the park. And it is small, which for people who are used to Walt Disney World, some find it a turnoff. If you can argue there's not as much to do as there is to do in Walt Disney World, but you can walk the entire park in a day. You can walk right across the Esplanade to the other park. You can stay in a kajillion different hotels and be within walking distance of the parks. Me and my husband don't even rent a car typically when we're doing just the parks. We'll only rent a car if we're going to go do other things like head to the beach or head up to LA, that sort of thing. So it's a pretty cool experience, I think, compared to the other Disney parks. There's always going to be that history of Walt himself coming up with the idea, sitting on a park bench, watching his daughters on a merry-go-round, and fans wanting to come and visit the studios, and him realizing that that would probably be kind of boring. So what could he give us that would, you know, capture the magic of everything he had created and be enjoyable for families? And that's what Disneyland is. So that's a little super brief history. Of course, if you want to know more, there's books, there's museums, there's so much out there. And if you guys want me to do a deeper dive into that kind of stuff, you can let me know and I'll do a longer, more in-depth history episode. But otherwise, that is it for today. I'm going to remind you that if you loved the magic of this podcast, it would mean the world if you liked, subscribed, and left a review. It helps the podcast reach other Disneyland lovers like us. For more, follow me over on Instagram @plan.the.magic.dl, and I will see you next Monday.